Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Barbara P. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, February 23rd, and today we'll be reading from the big book, page 20, the fifth paragraph, starting with moderate drinkers have little trouble and ending with that one paragraph, they can take it or leave it alone. Today's readers are going to be Joanne L. on the 12 Steps, Lou Ann C. on the 12 Traditions, Lisa N. will be reading our text, Robin B. will be reading our closing, and SCH is backing us up. And our newcomer reader will be Alex K., and our announcements will be Shelley E. Thanks to everybody for all your service in the month of February. The reference numbers for Sunday, yesterday, the special edition, Sunday, February 22nd, the recording is 23229. And then today's 7 a.m. meeting was 23230. So Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Joanne L. to step up and read our 12 steps. Joanne?
Good morning, Barbara. Thank you so very much for your service today. And thank you for everybody on the line, especially the newcomers. I am Joanne L. I am from Rhode Island and recovered in Rhode Island. And I'm buried with snow here as well. But we'll get through it. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. In 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Joanne L. from Rhode Island. Now, would Lou Ann C. please read our 12 traditions? flew in from Boise.
Thank you, Barbara. Good morning, everyone. Happy Monday. I'm Luann C. I'm so grateful to be recovered in Boise, Idaho today. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me serve. I pass.
Thanks so much, Luann C. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then please press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we're resuming the Big Book study on page 20, the fifth paragraph, beginning with moderate drinkers have little trouble, and ending at the end of that paragraph with they can take it or leave it alone. And I will ask Lisa N. to get us started. Lisa.
Thank you so much for your service this morning, moderator, and good morning, everyone. Moderate drinkers have little trouble in giving up liquor entirely if they have a good reason for it. They can take it or leave it alone. And I can relate to seeing other people eat like moderate eaters. I've been watching them for many years, wondering how they could do it, because I couldn't. So I would see my sister, and she would eat a small portion of her dinner, and she usually finished it. She had a good appetite, but she was normal. And I could see my mother, and she ate very slowly at the dinner hour. She ate her meal very slowly and not relaxed, because there was no relaxing at dinner time in our house. And my brother, he ate fairly normally, maybe a little faster than everybody. And then I noticed my dad, and my dad was like me. He was somewhere else eating. Like, I could see him he had very blue eyes. I could see him staring out the window, his leg bouncing while he just put food in his mouth, one bite after the other. And I could relate to that kind of eating. But I made fun of him, and because I was kind of a mean kid. And I would eat like that when I was alone. I was an actress. I could eat like a moderate eater out at a restaurant and bring home my food. But as soon as I got home, I was finishing the leftovers. Or I would take them and I would eat them in another room so nobody could see me eating them because I was embarrassed. I was an actress. That's what I was. So I could pretend to be that moderate eater. I could pretend, but everybody knew differently because I was very overweight. I was the only one who really didn't know what I was doing. I did not know what I was doing. And so I couldn't take it and leave it alone like other people. I just never could. And I still can't. I have to weigh and measure my food. I have to pay attention. I have to pray. I have to do 10 steps. I have to do all of that, or I will be right back being a compulsive overeater. And again, thank you so much for everyone doing service and moderator, and welcome newcomers. Have a great day, everyone.
Thanks, Lisa N., for getting us started. Great kickoff. So we'll go ahead now and take shares. What I will say is although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who else would like to do 3-minute shares on this paragraph?
Michelle S.
And Eileen M.
Okay, I have Michelle, I have Eileen.
Lori C.
Gotcha, Lori C. So I have Michelle, Eileen, and Lori. Who'd I miss?
Donna B.
Gotcha, Donna B.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. All right, well, that's a great group. Let's get started there. So I've got Michelle, Eileen, Lori C., Donna B., Deborah G. So Michelle, go right ahead, and Eileen, you'll be up next.
Thank you so much. Michelle S., recovered in California. I don't share very often. I listen every day, but I don't share very often, and I'm just moved this morning. I'm having memories. One of my earliest memories is my brother would go outside and play and I would stay inside and eat at a very young elementary age. And I can remember being in junior high and one summer thinking, well, if I just follow Terry around and eat like her, when we go back to school, I'll be thin. So at a very young age, I knew I was different. I didn't know what's wrong with me until, you know, adulthood. I didn't know late adulthood, actually. I didn't know that this was a disease. I didn't know that I was having an allergic reaction along with a physical obsession in my mind. I just knew I was different than other people, and I didn't understand why. And it's just a blessing to be here in Visions and to listen to other people who understand me. I thought I was alone, you know, in my early part of my life. I didn't know that. I knew I was different, but I didn't know why. I didn't know what was wrong. I didn't know why I was bigger than all the other girls. I mean, I knew I was eating, but I didn't know why I couldn't stop. I couldn't be like them. And I do relate to this, and just I'm blessed, and I feel grateful to have the promises to not regret the past, and I wish to change it coming true in my life and for Visions and going through the big book with my sponsor to get the solution one day at a time. And I loved what was said about doing 10 steps and 11 steps and working with others, and that's the remedy. I don't have to struggle. I can surrender and have freedom. Thank you so much. Pass it on. Pass.
Well, thanks, Michelle S. from California. Eileen, please come on in. Let us know your last initial and where you're from.
Good morning. Thank you, Barbara, for your service. This is Eileen M., gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. I don't recall a time in my life ever where I was a moderate eater. From the time I was about 5 years old, I discovered sugar, and I remember how it happened. And from that day on, I was addicted to sugar. That's my primary addiction, and I would just binge on sugar, you know, my whole childhood. That's what I did. And, when I got older, I became a chronic binge eater and a restrictor. I got very good at restricting calories. That was an obsession for me. And I was also an over-exerciser. But, before OA, I remember feeling a lot of shame whenever I was, you know, in a setting where I was eating in front of other people, just like eating lunch, you know, like somebody would invite me out to lunch and just eating lunch. I would just feel this shame. And, you know, for me, binge eating was strictly a secret business. You know, it was definitely done in isolation. And I remember this one time I was at work and my boss and I were having lunch. It was a lunch hour. I brought my lunch. And, you know, she said to me, "Wow, Eileen, you must eat so much more when you're alone." And I just remember being completely mortified, when you say like you're burning with shame, I was definitely burning with shame. And because I had been trying so hard to keep it a secret, but, you know, people seemed to just know it anyway. And I felt like it was almost like it was written on my forehead, like, "Oh, you're a binge eater," you know. And I just remember being so uncomfortable in my skin, like, you know, everywhere I went. And when I got into OA, I remember that was like the major catalyst for me going into OA, was that comment that she made. And I've never left the program. You know, I was 26 years old when I got here. And I struggled for a lot of years in the program because, unfortunately, there's a lot of misinformation circulating out there, you know, in these non-big book meetings that we have in this area. There's just misinformation about recovery. And it wasn't until I found this meeting, you know, I just can't say enough about how great this meeting is, A Vision for You. I mean, it was a game changer for me. I still weigh and measure even after a long period of abstinence. Thank you, God. I still weigh and measure because I have a problem with quantity. And what this meeting, the way this meeting differs so much from non-big book meetings is that it showed me how to handle abstinence, because I could not handle abstinence without the steps. It was too uncomfortable. I always went back to the food. I always went back. You know, I'd have a period of abstinence and then I'd go back. And I couldn't understand why was I going back over and over. And, you know, it wasn't until I got a sponsor on this meeting and she said, "You got to be entirely abstinent while you're working the steps. And then you have to continue the daily work." And that's really what's so important, is you got to continue doing the work to stay recovered. So I'm really grateful. You know, I found the answer here. So, you know, if you're out there struggling, we have a solution. So keep coming. Thank you.
Thanks, Eileen M. from New Hampshire. Lori C., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Donna B.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lori C. from Colorado. Looking forward to a 75-degree day. Anyway, I just wanted to speak up because my sister was diagnosed with celiac, and she had to give up wheat, gluten, and I wondered how she could do that. And she just had sufficient reason, like the book says. She likes to eat. But she had good reason to give up things that she loved, and she was able to do it. And as much as I was wishing I could also do that, and as many times as I've tried to prove that I could not have to give up necessarily, but moderate my particular addiction, which is sugar, I just can't. And I have tried many times. So I am not a moderate eater. I am an addict and a food alcoholic. So my only choice is to give it up altogether. Anyway, welcome to the newcomers. If you're new on this meeting, keep coming back. It was recommended by my first OA sponsor. I didn't get here. I finally did after about 5 years, and I'm very grateful that I did. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thanks, Lori C. in 75 degree Colorado. Glad you're here too. Donna B., you are up next. You'll be followed by Deborah G., and then we'll be taking another list of names. Just want to remind folks where we are too, in case you just came in. We're on page 20, the fifth paragraph. And that is starting with moderate drinkers have little trouble. Just the one paragraph. All righty, Donna B., you're up.
Good morning. I am Donna B., spelled D-A-N-A, in Denver, Colorado. Thank you for the weather forecast, Lori. I am a compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor. I am not a moderate eater, and I have had endless troubles giving up my alcoholic food ingredients entirely, even with good reasons to give it up. I do believe that I was born a compulsive overeater. One of my earliest memories was being in the yellow room in preschool with Mrs. Beverly. And Miss Beverly said to me, "I can't give you seconds on the potatoes. Your mom told me specifically not to give you seconds on potatoes." So as early as preschool, my mom and others were trying to moderate what I was eating and how much I was eating. And it didn't work. I don't know what came first, that I was a compulsive overeater or the interventions of others. But I became a volume secret eater for as long as I could remember, sneaking food and eating as much as I could and hiding it. My younger brother did not have any problems with his weight, and I would ask him to say that he ate the food. And when I did my first ninth step amends to my brother, I apologized for asking him to lie for me for years. I mean, this went on for years. And he actually had no recollection, no memory of it at all, because it didn't matter to him. He didn't have any feelings attached to it. But for me, it was this horrible feeling I had been carrying around because I was ashamed. And with that, I will pass by saying also that I'm so grateful to be among people who know that they are not moderate eaters either, and who have offered me a solution. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Donna B. from Colorado. Deborah G., you're up next, and then we'll go ahead and take a new list of names.
Hi, I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, and thank you so much for leading us today and everyone that's made this meeting possible. And Lisa's starting us off her share. And welcome to any newcomers. I'm so glad you're on the line with us today. And I was at a celebration of life on Saturday. It was an AA one, and they had lots of food. And I waited to have my lunch when I got home because it's weighed and measured and it had been called in, and it's what I have. It's what I eat all the time unless I go out. And I was watching people eat, and you know, some of them didn't have much on their plates and could not relate to that at all. And they were eating really slow. I still eat fast. One of the things I have to look at within myself is I still eat fast, and I'll wait. I'll drag out to have my meal or be out and about and not get back in time, you know, to where I'm really, really hungry, and then I really, really eat. You know, I have my abstinent food, but I eat it fast. So it's something I need to look at. And so I cannot relate to those people that were eating at the celebration of life. And some of them weren't even going for any more food. I'm grateful. I am so grateful for what I do have, for I have my food plan and I have accountability. And I have, someone that I can talk to because it's my thinking that I have a problem with. You know, I don't know about the moderate drinker's thinking, but my thinking is to the extremes. And I can still have those thoughts today. That's why something crops up that I need to deal with that was shared for a 10 step. But still, remember a food that I had, you know, or how it tasted, or miss something my mom made that someone said, or, you know, those kinds of things still come up because it's my thinking. And I come here, I love this meeting also. I love all of you to get my thinking treated so I don't have to go back to living the way I was. And thank you so much. Have a beautiful, blessed day.
Oh, thanks, Dr. G. Glad you shared. So let's see. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Larry G. Hi, from New Jersey.
Okay, I got Larry. I have somebody from New Jersey.
Hedge from New Jersey.
Was it Hedge?
Yes, thank you.
Gotcha.
Kristen Y. from California.
Kristen Y. Thanks. Kristen Y. Got you. I'm sorry, who? Was it Stephanie? After Kristen, I heard somebody else, I think H.
Debbie H.
Bonsby, Virginia.
Debbie. And I'm so sorry, I'm not catching first names. I heard someone C from Virginia.
Yvonne C from Virginia.
Yvonne. Got you, Yvonne. Thank you so much.
Right.
So who else I've got? Yeah, so did somebody else. Go ahead.
Ginger in New York.
Got you, Ginger. So I've got Larry, Paige, Kristen, Debbie, Yvonne, and Ginger. Who'd I miss?
Janice K.
Kay from Iowa.
Okay, I've got Janice K.
Janice, Debbie H.
And I've got Debbie H.
Okay,
let me stop there and then we'll see. We may still have a few minutes. So we're going to go Larry, followed by Pidge. Please come right on, Larry.
Oh, moderator, you did such a great job with those names. My name's Larry G, and I'm from California. This is the first time in 25-plus years in OA that I am in a fellowship that supports entire abstinence as defined by the doctor's opinion. And it's been a game changer for me. And my wife and I were talking recently. Both of us are in a vision program, and we talked about if we can't make it here, we'll make it nowhere, because this fellowship really understands what the problem is, and which has taught me what the problem is, and of course what the solution is. I had a client years ago, and one day without any declaration, on his way home, he joins a gym, he buys a couple of workout outfits, he comes home, he throws away these institutional gallon sizes of sugary barbecue sauce, years worth of sugary sodas, gets a meal plan, starts eating healthy, buys a $10,000 Italian road bike, starts entering these centuries, 100 mile centuries bicycle races. And within a year, he drops 100 pounds, meets his future wife on one of these centuries. And years later, he's in fit shape, still racing, never to smoke again, never to eat flour or sugar. I that is beyond comprehension. And I got to tell you, I use him as inspiration every time I needed to get back in the game, so to speak. I would go out and do the same thing. I'd buy an outfit, get a meal plan, start working out, and it would work maybe a day, week, month, 3 months, 3 years. But eventually, the thought would come, Larry, you're making too big, hard a going of life. You could have that muffin. Have that muffin. Have that extra piece of food. You have been really good 2 years, 3 years, 2 months, 1 month. And it always would come back, the obsession. And once the obsession came back, game over. Somebody was talking about quantity. And when I was younger, I was literally kicked out of several all-you-can-eat. Bill was kicked out of bars. I was kicked out of all-you-can-eat because I was going back and obsessively eating whatever the most expensive food they had, and they would ask me to leave. So volume has been part of my nature since day one. And today, I don't know why I have been relieved the obsession, and I'm food neutral. I know it's explained in there's a solution, but this is a phenomenon that I simply cannot explain. And today I am going to turn it back to you after working out this morning, having a measured weight, measured breakfast. Won't think about food until 1 o'clock. I mean, I can't explain that. Maybe you can't. I can't explain that. That's a miracle. And I pass it back to you, moderator.
Thanks, Larry G. from California. And Paige from New Jersey, come on up. And you'll be followed by Kristen Y. back in California.
Thank you. Sorry about that. I was putting on the mute button. My name is Ted. I'm a compulsive eater and binger from New Jersey. Thank you for the moderator, people doing service, and all the shares are really great today. I do believe that I am different than other eaters. Sometimes I really wish that other people would understand this disease, because there's not a lot of accurate information going to these professionals like the nutritionist and so therapists, but I know in my heart that I'm a compulsive eater. I lost a lot of weight, but I do have some skin tattoos, I call them. But sometimes I think I can eat normally, but I can't. What I do is I surrender the food to my higher power, and every time I go in the kitchen, I really pray some really powerful prayers, so I wouldn't compulsively or eat binging. And my higher God has helps me, and the meetings give me strength and support, which I need, and help my thinking. But ultimately, it's God who's going to keep my hand from picking up something I shouldn't, you know. I'll wrap up by saying just snowy day out today, but I'm so happy. A lot of pleasant shares today, honestly, and that helps a lot for me, because I think I'm snowed in the rest of the day. I went out, but I'm snowed in. So with that, I'll pass back to the moderator. Thank you for listening.
Wow, thanks, Ted, in New Jersey. Kristen Y., you're up. Let me just repeat for anybody who joined us. We are on page 20, the fifth paragraph, beginning with moderate drinkers have little trouble. Kristen Y., you're up, and Debbie H., you will be following.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm Kristen. I'm a compulsive overeater. thanks everyone doing service. I'm incredibly grateful for this meeting. And what I started thinking about is the security blanket for me of food, starting with my grandmother's story about me being 2 and her not even understanding what I was asking for initially. It was certs, Grandma certs. And I remembered she didn't live near us, but she was the one that could dish out the drug. I was a competitive gymnast, and I remember not making it to state, but getting to go and be there and not having any emotional support in my family. My parents just didn't know how. They hadn't gotten it. And so my food, I remember I packed my food. I was probably 9, 10. And my ballet teacher and another woman sitting near me said to me at one point, "You've been eating since we got here." And I was mortified. It was like, oh, this is my, you know, this is what I felt like I needed. And to come in here and hear all of you talking about, you know, what else works, you know, that connection with a higher power, that it gets so much more interesting if I'm not incapacitating myself and knocking myself out with food, if I'm actually looking into, you know, how I can get this feeling of I'm okay, I'm good enough, I, you know, from the work. My sponsor's amazing. She's patient with me. I never thought, oh, when I would hear in another program, yeah, and I would get in these debates with my sponsor, and that's happened to me in here, and it's just, I just have to go deep. It's making me just go so much deeper spiritually, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful to be a compulsive overeater, and, you know, I start thinking it through. Like, my partner will say, well, we could eat here, and then, you know, this, we're going to go, and this person's going to feed us, and it's like, yeah, no, I'm not going to eat here. I'm going to, you know, and it feels amazing. It feels like so much self-love. Anyway, oh, I love this meeting. I'm incredibly grateful, and that there is a solution. There's a way out. There's a way out. Okay, thanks, you guys.
Thanks, Kristen Y. in California. Debbie H., you are up next, and you're going to be followed by Yvonne C.
Can you hear me?
Let us know where you're from. I sure can. Yeah, perfect.
Okay. Hi, this is Debbie H. I'm from West Virginia. And I'm really happy to be here this morning. It really feels good to listen to all these shares about, you know, trying to be moderate and not able to be moderating. I've been in the program for a long time, but I've really committed to a vision for you in the last couple of months. And it just feels different. It's so different. It's so good to be studying the big book and just listening to other people's shares about their you know, their journey. And I'm also in the other program, and I find that it's been very disappointing and frustrating for me to hear, you know, a lot of people in the other program. It's a great program. It's just that when they decide they want to, you know, moderate their eating, they seem to be able to do it. Maybe they can't do it with the other substance, but they certainly can do it with food. And I'm jealous of that, but that doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that, you know, I feel like I've got 2 months of abstinence now, and it really feels good. And I just want to keep it going. I don't want to get discouraged. And I'm just so grateful that I'm having some recovery. I'm working the steps, and I'm on step 11 right now, and I'm just very grateful. And that's all I got. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Debbie H. in West Virginia. Yvonne C., come on up, and you're going to be followed by Ginger in New York.
Good morning. This is Yvonne C. from Virginia. And I'm grateful to be here. I'm a compulsive overeater sugar addict. I'm food addict too. But I was thinking about moderate eating and moderate drinkers and moderate eating. And I was trying to remember, was I ever a moderate eater? And I'm just trying to, you know, I'm 72, and I'm just trying to look back at my life because I can't remember a lot of those years. And but I do remember as a young adult always trying to manage my eating, always, especially my sugar intake, always trying to manage my sugar, just my eating period. I think I spent a lot of time trying to manage my eating. My mother was obese, and so I don't know if, and I dealt with some family trauma, and so I don't know if it was because of that, but anyway. You know, and I did everything that they possibly could besides, you know, exercising and teaching aerobics to stay thin and, you know, taking all kinds of drugs, illegal and legal drugs, and just doing everything that I could to manage eating. I remember that was so much a part of my life when I think about it now, and I think about my life growing up and, you know, even with school and everything that I did. The managing that was, hey, was what I did. And even today at this time in my life, and I got into OA back in 2017 and got abstinence and enjoyed abstinence for quite a while. And then slowly but surely, I stopped doing some of the things that were keeping me successful. And so now that I'm trying to get back to a place where I can put down my food, particularly putting down the sugar, I'm playing those games that we play in our heads about, well, you know what, I'm, you know, this is a religious time for some people, and, you know, and the people are giving up things. And I said, well, maybe I'll give up this for this period of time and whatever, only to turn right around and then eat whatever it is the next day. And so playing those psychological games and thinking that I have control over my food, which I don't, and really trying to figure out, you know, just wanting to put down the food, just really wanting to put down the food and really deal with what's actually going on with me, what's actually going on with me, whether it's loneliness or sadness or still grieving my sister's loss or whatever it is, but trying to get past this place with the food so I can really get very intentional and honest with where I am today in my life. And that's what I'm seeking. So I just won't ever give up, and I won't ever stop coming back to OA. It's the people in the rooms that help to keep me sane. And it's here I really truly believe that I'm going to find freedom from this disease. And so thank you for letting me share. Have a good day.
Well, thanks, Yvonne. Perfect timing. Yvonne C. from Virginia. Ginger from New York. Go right ahead, and you're going to be followed by Janice K.
Thank you, moderator. I haven't been on this meeting for a while. I had a sponsor, and we just started working together, and her program was just much too much for me. I thought I was going to lose my mind. And in terms of all the podcasts and other things, assignments. So I told her it was going to work for me. You know, I thanked her. And if I do the steps, which I would like to do, I think I'm going to do them by myself. I think I'm going to do this program by myself. I don't know exactly how I'm going to go about doing that. So maybe I'll need some suggestions from Harlan or someone. I know people have done it without a sponsor, and it actually says that in the book. People have done it successfully. What I did when I stopped, you know, when I told the sponsor this wasn't going to work for me, you know, the way she does it, the way her sponsor did it, I stopped calling people and doing outreach because I thought that people wouldn't want to talk to me because I wasn't looking for a sponsor or doing the steps. And it was a big mistake because I became very isolated and, you know, lost that support of people, you know, in a similar position to myself. So I'd like to overcome that and change that and do outreach with people. I think a lot of this is about self-care and self-love. I had a problem getting started with some other project yesterday, and as a result of being on a different fellowship meeting, I realized that that's what it was about. And as soon as I realized that it was about, you know, lack of self-care and the need for more self-care, I was able to ground myself and tackle the project. So I think this is probably true about this fellowship as well. And last night I was full, really, and I went to the fridge. That's always a problem for me. Why do I go to a fridge if I'm not hungry? I think I'm worried that later on I'll be hungry and then I'll have to get up from, you know, sleep and whatever. So I definitely need higher powers help to really set some meals. I email my meals to a doctor, but I don't set up what I'm going to eat before. I email him after and tell him what I've eaten. And I know that it works. Thanks, I'll wrap up. It would work better for me if I did it the way we do it on MUA, on A Vision for You. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Ginger from New York. Janice K., you are up and you're going to be our last share. You have 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay.
Yeah, so sorry. We're a little
That's
late.
That's okay. I knew I was speaking late. Thank you for 2 minutes. There are moderate eaters out there. I know they exist. I don't relate well to them. I have recently had some family members. I'm hosting them while they are between homes. And it keeps being reinforced in my mind. I can't play with someone else's food. I don't get to analyze their diet. I don't get to make suggestions to them. What I do know is that if my disease were kidney disease instead, it would be an advanced state and I would do my dialysis diligently. This is my dialysis. Other people can skip meetings, play games, but I have to do my dialysis diligently. And if I choose to skip part of my treatment, nobody pays the price for that but me. And I am very, very grateful to have a higher power who enables me to do this program. So thank you for listening, and I think I'm probably close to 2 minutes, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Janice K. All right. Thank you, everybody, for all their sharing. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And we have Robin B. reading our closing today. So will Robin B. please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Drew, keep you until then.
Thank you. Thank you, moderator. This is Robin B. in Ohio. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.